Oh, Giriraj Darshana, so nice. This is just the time when Krishna's bringing the cows home with Baladev and all the cowherd boys. But we're going to gradually get up to that Leela. But now we will continue from what we were speaking about yesterday. Sri Radharaman, we're going to need some help with this. Who remembers where we ended yesterday? Raise your hand if you remember. The Lord acknowledged, thank you, that they wouldn't leave, they would achieve their desire by being fully engaged in the service of Krishna. And before that, what happened? Before the Krishna spoke to these devatas, then the devatas offered prayers, yes? And before that, what happened? You have to raise your hand. This is a Bhagavatam class. Who remembers what happened before they started? Yes. No, that's really before. You rewound too much. After that, he pulled the mortar between the trees, and there was a loud crash. And the trees fell down, and amazingly enough, this little, not that little, but this little infant boy, he pulled down these huge Arjun trees. And amazingly enough, the rope didn't break, because the rope was Mother Yashoda's affection for Krishna, and Krishna, that can never break. It is nitya siddha. It is eternally situated within. She is. That's who she is, actually speaking. She's the sum total of motherly love for Krishna. For the absolute truth, Krishna. And then the sound of the trees was so heavy, it was so crashing, that, does anyone remember the time frame? I know our astrologers over here know. One muhurta or 48 minutes? Yes. For one muhurta, the cowherd men, practically speaking, had fainted. But the cowherd boys, being absorbed in Krishna's sweet pastimes, they didn't faint, but they were stunned. And they were just watching. Then, the very last thing that happened that we spoke of, who remembers that? Yes, but that was earlier. The very last thing that happened after Nalakovera and Manigriva offered their prayers, they wanted to leave in their prayers, and Krishna gave them permission to leave, and then they left. And there was Krishna with the fallen trees around him, the branches of the fallen trees around him. And the devatas, they had been praying to him, and they had gone, and the cowherd boys, the young cowherd boys had seen that, and they were with Krishna, and the loud crash, the muhurta was over. And then Nanda Maharaj, what happened? Technical problem. It's low tech, at least. But in any case, then we begin the next chapter, which is chapter 11. The first six texts of chapter 11, six or seven, yes, seven texts, speak about what happened right after that. You know, you have to capture this in your mind, that the huge trees are around Krishna. And the cowherd boys, the little boys are around Krishna. And then Sukadeva Goswami began to speak. When the Jamal Arjun trees fell, all the cowherd men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound and fearing thunderbolts, because very strange things would happen in Vrindavan, and always Krishna was at the center of these things. Putana, Trinavata, Sakateswara. And now, these huge trees, they heard this great sound and the sky was clear. There were no clouds at all. So there would be no cause of thunderbolts, although the sounds were louder than the crashing of thunderbolts. So they immediately ran to where they perceived the sound came from. They heard the fierce sound, and fearing thunderbolts, they went to the spot. But there were no thunderbolts. But the trees had fallen to the ground. There were no thunderbolts. There were no elephants who had pulled the trees down. And they couldn't understand what had happened. They even looked at the trees in time, looking for termites, white ants, because the trees were very old, but the trees were still strong. But yet, they had fallen down. And little Krishna was in the center of the branches and the leaves. He wasn't crying, but he was there. They could not trace out the cause for the falling trees. And Krishna was still bound by the ropes of the mortar, and the mortar was there. And they thought, what is the connection between Krishna being bound by the mortar and the tree falling? It is not possible that our Lala has pulled down the trees. They were completely bewildered. What is the source for this? Nanda Maharaj could not understand. And he asked the cowherd boys who had witnessed everything. He asked them what had happened. And they said, Krishna was playing and he crawled between the trees, and the trees, he pulled, the mortar got stuck between the trees, and Krishna gave a jerk, a pull, and the trees fell down. Huge trees. And then two shining men came out of the trees, and then they folded their hands, and they were so effulgent, and they began to pray to Krishna. And then after some time, they circumambulated him and left. And Nanda Maharaj didn't believe them. But some of the cowherd men thought, this boy is very, 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 very special. And Gargacharja had said, Narayano Samo Gunai, when predicting about his future, Krishna's future, when he gave him the name of Krishna. Narayana Samo Gunai means that he is equal in qualities to Lord Narayan. So maybe they began to doubt. Maybe it's possible. Maybe it's maybe something. A doubt came in their mind. But Nanda Maharaj could not accept it, and he could not understand the situation. And then, because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men thought that Narayana Samogunai, that he could have done it. So when Nanda Maharaj saw his own son, his beloved Krishna, bound up and beneath the leaves of the tree, practically covered by the tree, he smiled. He smiled because, of course, he saw that Krishna was unhurt. But he also smiled because, and this is very interesting, he was very, very fearful that some demons had come or there was something extremely auspicious. But he did not want to express it and put a bad thoughts into the atmosphere. And he didn't, even though he was so worried about Krishna, because the boy was beneath the tree, practically speaking, and although he was unhurt, what could have happened? He thought. So he smiled just to reassure Krishna that everything was okay, out of his great fatherly affection. And then he released Krishna from his bondage, from the being tied from the ropes. Then Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Gopal Champu, explains some extra pastime. The Bhagavatam here goes on to, in the seventh verse goes on to the next part of the pastime. But Jiva Goswami explains something very, very special. He explains that Nanda Maharaj said to Krishna, Krishna was smiling, everything was okay. He said to Krishna, "Krishna, who has tied you up in this way?" And Krishna said, "No, I don't want to say. Please tell me who has tied you up in this way. I will punish them severely." "No, I don't want to say. You must tell me, my dear Lala, who has tied you up?" And Krishna then crawled upon his father's lap and said, "Yashoda Maya." And inside, Nanda Maharaj became so angry. But he didn't express it in any way, nor did he speak it. But he took Krishna onto his lap, and then he brought Krishna to the Yamuna. And at that time, Yashoda Mai was there also. And when she saw Krishna in that difficult circumstance with the tree broken around him, she felt, "Oh, why did I do this? Why did I tie him up, my little boy, so helpless?" And she went into her room. And as we shall hear, she did not come out for 3 days. She felt bad. She wouldn't eat either. For the first day, she wouldn't eat, and all the ladies went with her. Nanda Maharaj took Krishna on his lap and then took him to the Yamuna and bathed him in the Yamuna and had all brahmanas come and recite auspicious prayers for the protection of Krishna and to remove any inauspiciousness that may be present. Then, following that, Nanda Maharaj took Krishna to his own quarters and he taught him some alphabets. Like he had to write, and this is A, and this is C, and this is D. And they sat on Nanda Maharaj's bed for some time, and Krishna and Nanda Maharaj taught him. And then Nanda Maharaj had to perform his duty of supervising the milking of the cows. So he brought Krishna to the milking of the cows. And he took some very, very fresh milk and he put nice sugar in it. And he fed that to Krishna because Krishna was drinking breast milk at that time. So he fed him this fresh milk that was very, very sweetly mixed with sugar. And then they went back to Nanda Maharaj's room. Balaram came at that time. And Rohini Devi went to see Yashoda. And Yashoda Mai was... All the ladies had left by this time. And Mother Rohini took charge of cooking and serving prasadam because that was Yashoda Maya's responsibility usually. But she was in no state to do anything. She was feeling terrible. So Rohini Devi, seeing the state of Yashoda, went to where Krishna was. And Krishna was sitting with Nanda Maharaj and Balaram. And she said, Krishna, your mother is so disturbed. You please go to her now. She's feeling so bad. And Krishna said, no, I won't go to her. And he went and sat closer to his father, Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is generating this tsunami of rasa, of affection, different varieties. Srila Jiva Goswami, not commenting on this, or rather, Srila Rupa Goswami says that Shantaras, the fifth of the rasas, is not actually a ras. And I think Shantaras is the ras that is not actually a ras that most of us long for. Just some peace in this world. That's enough. Just stare at Krishna and be peaceful. But it's not considered a rasa because there is no actual service being rendered. And it is not considered a rasa, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, is there is no movement. There is no, in the movement of between Krishna and the devotees, in the exchange between Krishna and the devotees, there's varieties of emotions developed. Either servitorship or friendship or vatsalya rasa or madhurya, shringara rasa. There's so many, it's a bhakti rasamrita sindhu, it's an ocean of rasa generated, of different emotions, spiritual emotions, based on sthayi bhav, one's permanent relationship with Krishna. All on the spiritual platform. So, by these pastimes, rasaraj Krishna, he is generating oceans, waves on the ocean of rasa, because everyone has their relationship with Krishna fully developed in Braja on the level of prema, of Braja prema. So Krishna is moving closer to Nanda Maharaj. And Rohini Dev says, oh Lala, why are you being so hard? Your mother is suffering so much. Krishna says, when I needed you and called for you, you weren't there. You left me alone because she and Balaram had gone to the house of Upananda and Mother Rohini. And then she made a motion to Balaram, very subtle, because in Vrindavan, or even everywhere in India practically, just with the eyes and the shaking of the head, so much is communicated. And a little movement of the hand. So she made a movement, a motion to Balaram to go take Krishna by the hand and bring him to Mother Yashoda. So when Balaram went over and grabbed Krishna's hand, Krishna went, and he just went closer to Nanda Maharaj, and he sat so close to him on his lap. And he hugged Nanda Maharaj and just looked at him. And Nanda Maharaj's eyes are like... But Nanda Maharaj, of course, knew the love that's in Krishna's heart. So he said to Krishna, He said, your mother, she hasn't eaten today because she feels bad. But if you want, you just say, and I will go. She tied you up. I will go in. And Krishna grabbed his hand. He was beginning to soften. And he took his Nanda Maharaj's hand, put it down. And then Nanda Maharaj said, you know, if your mother doesn't see you, she's going to. And Krishna jumped off of Nanda Maharaj's lap and went running to Mother Yashoda. Now, Yashoda Mai is just, oh, what have I done to my Krishna in her rooms? Well, my Krishna, my Krishna. She's on the ground practically. Won't eat, won't talk to anyone, just experiencing this flavor of ecstasy about Krishna. Oh, Krishna. And then Krishna comes running in, thinking that his mother is about to. He goes running and says, oh, Maya! And Krishna hugs her and jumps on her lap, and Mother Yashoda comes back to life. And Mother Yashoda immediately starts feeding Krishna the milk from her breast, which is her affection. Krishna has all of Vrindavan completely swimming and diving and going to the tops and going to the bottoms of the waves of different ecstatic emotions, all based on their love for him. But still, Mother Yashoda stayed in her room for 3 days. She didn't want to have to appear before Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj told Krishna, now you bring her to me. So Krishna went to Mother Yashoda and held her sari and pulled her in front of Nanda Maharaj. So this is what is going on in Goloka Vrindavan. There is no Shanti or Shantaras, but it is all ecstasy. All based on love for Krishna. Transcendental bhava. Love for Krishna. So, the next pastimes. This is how Srila Jiva Goswami describes the end of this leela. Then the next pastimes that take place, described in this 11th chapter, which is an amazing chapter of the 10th canto. These next pastimes were actually, Srila Jiva Goswami places them after the 7th chapter, actually, when he explains that after Trinavarta, which is such an amazing pastime, and Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is exhibited in the most amazing ways there. How she had put Krishna down for just one moment because Krishna's yoga maya had knew what was going to happen, that the Trinavarta demon was coming and was going to pull Krishna away. Mother Yashoda was holding on to Krishna. Whatever she did, she was holding on to Krishna. But then Krishna, yoga maya, made Krishna so heavy that she had to put him down for one moment. For one moment, she placed him down outside the house in the dust of Braja. And she herself went inside for a moment just to pray to the deities, because what is happening to Krishna? Suddenly he's become so heavy. Her only thoughts were always of Krishna and his welfare. For one moment she went inside, and at that moment the Trinavarta demon came and and took Krishna high into the sky, spreading dust and darkness all over Braja. And in a moment, Mother Yashoda came out and saw Krishna wasn't there. And she fainted immediately. And the only way she was kept alive was that the ladies came and told her the pastimes of Krishna. And then when Krishna killed Srinivasa, it's a wonderful pastime that I won't explain right now very much about it, but then they took Krishna. The ladies took Krishna, and Mother Yashoda was still fainted. And they placed Krishna on her lap, and she immediately woke up. Immediately. And as soon as she saw Krishna, she went into ecstasy and fainted again. Who can understand what goes on in Vrindavan? Who can understand it? But yet it is very attractive. It is sweet and attractive. So after that pastime took place, the elders spoke to Nanda Maharaj and said, dangerous things are happening to Krishna. Whenever he's outside, even for a moment, you should keep him inside now. So Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda, we should keep Lala inside now. So in the palace, for some time, Krishna just played. And played, Balaram was there, and all the residents of Vrindavan would come to see Krishna as he was playing, and they would do this naughty thing and that naughty thing. And Krishna was very young at that time. So Sri Jiva Goswami places these particular pastimes at that time, even though Srila Sukadeva Goswami narrates them right here. So here's one pastime that's become very, very famous. Gopi B. Oh, let's see what we've put over here. Yes, bhakti controls the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is amazing. He who is uncontrollable because he's all powerful becomes controlled by bhakti. Yes, this is the verse we'll read now. Gopi bi stobito anrityad Bhagavan balavat kvachit. Kvachit means sometimes Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord who possesses all absent, who is acting bala, like a balavat means like a young boy. Gopi bi stobito anrityad. And they were encouraging the gopis by flattering him. They were encouraging Krishna to what? To dance. Udgayati kvachim mugdas tadvaso daro yantravat. Daro yantravat is an interesting word. Daro means what? Wood. Yantra means like a mystical puppet. Yantravad. Like, vad means like at the end of the word. So they had him dancing. Just, they were pulling the strings of his dancing. And what was, like he was some mystical puppet or a karputli. In Bengali they call him putunach, a dancing doll. Karputli. He was dancing. Because the gopis, these are the senior gopis, the elderly gopis, they would say, if you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat. By saying these words, or by clapping their hands in rhythm, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways, and Krishna would get up, and not yet, later on, he became the most expert of dancers. But here he's just a little boy, and dancing. And he's as he's seen other dances, he's moving his hands and trying to move his legs. And in Indian dancing, in Bharatanatyam dancing or the Odissi dancing or whatever, they learned it by mantras. So Krishna was making the sounds like ta-ti, ta-ti, ta-ta, ta-ta. He was trying his best in that way, and he was dancing, and the gopis were saying, "Oh, so nice, you are dancing so nicely." So these are the inside pastimes. Because Krishna was being controlled by Nanda Maharaj's love, and Krishna is being controlled so much by Yashoda's love, and Krishna is being controlled by the love of all the gopis. So they encouraged Krishna, just like a daro yantravad. They made him dance like a dancing doll, practically speaking. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desires. As if he were a wooden doll in their hands. And sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. They would sing, Krishna, sing. And Krishna, just to please them, his mood was just like a little boy because they wanted to love him as a little boy. Yayatam mam prapadyante. Krishna's reciprocating with them exactly according to their loving mood. And what we're trying to develop here is a loving mood towards Krishna. And we've assembled here, we're the dust of Braja, we pray to Giriraj, oh Krishna, we're chanting in the mood of, let me serve you, Krishna. Let me serve you. Let me again be engaged in your service. For so many lifetimes I've turned my back on you. And I've tried. I've moved from one branch of the banyan tree of the material world to another branch, seeking this kind of happiness, living a life of if only. I've not been happy in this life because of this. I didn't have this. I was born in this family. I was born in that family. I was too short. I was too tall. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do this. I wasn't strong. I wasn't athletic enough. I wasn't able to play the harmonium. I wasn't good. This and that. And we fill our consciousness, especially when we're older and it's nearing the time of our death, we look around and we see the young boys and the young girls and we see them running and jumping and doing things that we used to be able to do. And we see some of them doing things that we wish and having things that we always wish we could do or could have. And we say subtly in our consciousness, we say, oh, if only I had this, if only I had that, only I could do that, only if I had straight hair, dark hair, blonde hair, big ears, little ears, beautiful eyes, this shaped eyes, this, that, whatever. And our consciousness becomes filled with these kind of desires, if only. And actually, we are planting the seeds for our next birth with these desires. Because as the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explains, Krishna explains, that we are in the material world and our situation is based on desire, just as the reflection of the tree is situated on water. So what we're here to do, in a very, very real sense, is to increase our desire to love Krishna and cut through these other desires that we have that cause us to jump from one birth to the next, from one branch of the banyan tree of material existence to the next, 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 countless times, birth after birth. So we want to get to the true desire, and that is to awaken our loving service to Krishna. So in Vrindavan, that is all that goes on, actually speaking. And usually the essence of the mentality of someone who wants to be happy in this material world is Ishwaraham Maham Bhogi. I can control, I can enjoy. Because I can control, I can enjoy. But look what the residents of Vrindavan control. They control the Supreme Controller through their incredible love for him. So Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. And then in the next verse, which is not this one, the next verse is another verse of that tells more pastimes. Sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this Krishna, bring this article, bring that article. And sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. He would show that he's strong. He wanted to show them that he was capable. He's a little boy. He's showing them like that. And sometimes, however, if unable to raise the things that they ask him, to lift the things that they ask him to lift, he would touch them and stand there. And just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show he had sufficient strength. So if we read this, or even there used to be these, I don't think they still have them, these Amrita Chitra Katha comic books that used to tell all the pastimes of Krishna for the little children. But they would tell the pastimes in a very, very cute way. And they would be there in their cute way. But the sweetness actually isn't there unless one can capture something of the Braj mood, how Krishna is the center of everything. And everyone simply loves Krishna. And he is so charming and so beautiful and so effulgent and so clever. And there, those who love him, they're telling him what to do. And he's doing it. Because this is the exchange of rasa. This is the relationship with Krishna, awakening so much affection in both the devotees and in Krishna. Now, why does Krishna do this? The next verse explains. Of course, he has many reasons why he comes to this world. He comes pritranaya sadunam vinashaya daskritam. He comes Glanir Bhavati Bharata Bhutanam Madhamasya Tatatmanam Sri Jamyam. But he comes also to have exchanges with his devotees like this, because the devotees are missing him so much, or they want to assist in his pastimes. But he also comes to show, to teach some very special points. And here is one of them that Srila Sukadev Goswami says. Darshayam tadvidam loka. Please repeat. Darshayam tadvidam loka atmano brityavasyatam. Please repeat. Atmano brityavasyatam vrajasyo vahavai harsham bhagavan balachestitaha. That to show tadvidam, a special category, vidam means a category, to show a special category of devotees something very special. He wants to show them that Atmano, the Supreme Soul, brityavasyata, becomes completely subordinate and a servant of his devotees. He wants to show the power of the love of the residents of Vrindavan to the devotees in the category of like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who are always worshipping Krishna in this way, with great awe and reverence. He wants to show, as he shows in the Damodar Leela, that that, and actually one of our Acharya's comments, that the chastising that Mother Yashoda did to Krishna for his stealing, you are a thief, you should go, you are like a monkey because you are friends with the monkeys, you are a liar. Her chastising him was more pleasing to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead than the prayers that Nalakuvara and Managriva offered. So very special, very unique, that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they cannot understand this. So Vrajasya Vahavai Harsham, to show the residents of, to also to give such happiness, Harsham, to the residents of Vrindavan, Bhagavan Bala Chaistita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, performs these activities, these childish activities. He's doing it to exchange love with his devotees. Their love for him is so powerful, inconceivably powerful, that it completely controls him. And he loves these exchanges. So here is Srila Prabhupada's translation of this important verse. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brijbasis by his childhood activities. Then, we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport here. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental yuma. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency, they were all informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. So when the greatest of demigods, or Lord Brahma, or Nalakuvara Manigriva, when they saw these pastimes of Krishna, these courtyard baby pastimes, what to speak of his cowherding pastimes, what to speak of his rasalila pastimes, they were astounded because they had within their consciousness that he was the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord. And look how Mother Yashoda is tying him up. Look how he is dancing. Look how he, who is being offered countless Vedic sacrifices, is dancing for half a sweetmeat. They are astounded by Krishna's activity. And what is the activity, what is the engine that is driving the activities in Braja? It is not actually Krishna. And it is not actually yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord, but it's the love of the devotees that yogamaya is facilitating. Yogamaya, the potency of Krishna that makes all the arrangements for Krishna's pastimes, is serving the prema of the devotees for Krishna's pleasure. So Mother Yashoda controls Krishna, and all the gopis control Krishna, But Krishna is controlled by more. And the next pastime describes this. Now, somehow or another, this very, very little pastime, little meaning two verses, it has captured me. And there is one line in a comment by Srila Kavi Kanapur when he describes this pastime that especially captivates my mind. And I'll tell you what that is in a moment. But this one, let's see how. Yes. Nope. We have to go back one. Yes. There was once a fruit seller, a lady from an adivasi, from the lower castes. They practically wouldn't enter the villages. They would collect the different fruits and from the forest and firewood, and they would come around, they would sell that. So once a woman selling fruit, she was calling out. She came to the village and she was calling out, "Oh, inhabitants of Brajabhumi, oh people of Braja, if anyone wants to purchase some fruits, come here. I have fruits. If anyone wants any fruits, come and purchase them from me." So she had a basket of fruits that she was carrying, and she was trying to collect some funds by selling them, or collect some supplies or something, because very often, as Prabhupada explains, that it was by trading. There wasn't barter. There wasn't credit cards in those days, and somehow they survived. So she was calling out, and she had heard that this very, very little beautiful boy lived in the village. So after hearing it, she was attracted. So she came. And she was calling out, "If anyone wants any fruits, come and get them from me." And then Krishna, hearing her calling, he picked up some grains. And Srila Jiva Goswami says he picked up some grains from the ground. Or Prabhupada said he picked up some paddy, which means the grain still in the husk, even in the, well, before the paddy and the wheat is separated. So he picked up. Now he's a little boy, very little, and he's dressed with just a golden belt around his waist and a little bell on that, and is sometimes, as said by described sometimes, he is clothed only by the four directions. So he hears her calling out. And he starts wanting some fruits from her. And imitating the adults, he picks up some grains and he walks towards her. He went to barter as if he needed some fruits. So Srila Kavi Kanapur says that she looked at him. And what she saw was a personified stream of bliss. The way Krishna was moving, his effulgence, his bodily features, he himself, his transcendental body is composed of bliss. What would it be like to see bliss personified, moving in his own graceful way, own childlike way, completely captivating. And she, having heard about him, was now seeing this stream of bliss moving towards her. It was Krishna, with his curly hair and his lotus eyes and his cheeks and dressed in this way, and his bimber-colored lips, reddish lips. And his complexion was more enchanting than a rain cloud, a monsoon cloud that was illuminated by lightning, effulgent and darkish, stream of bliss. So immediately she saw that he was, and he was speaking. He was trying to give her the wheat, and there was nothing left in his hands because his little fingers were not yet coordinated to be able to hold the rice grain, so that slipped through his fingers, and she was just staring at him, completely captivated. And he said, in broken language, give fruit, 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 give me fruit. And he was giving her maybe one or two grains that were left in his hands. And she took pilu fruit, this fruit, whatever fruit she had, she just wanted to give it to Krishna. And although his hands couldn't hold the grains, his Aishwarya Shakti expanded his ability, and he was able to hold all the fruits. And she was completely, what would you say, hypnotized, enchanted, just staring at him in his beauty, this beautiful boy. Now, the Vrishbhasis add a little bit to the story, as we have heard from our Dinabandhu Prabhu. Would you like to say it? You don't have a microphone, but I'll say it then. She looked at him with motherly love, and she said she had a desire that she was afraid to express to this little boy. But she said it. Just please sit on my lap and call me Maya. Please. She was so melted in motherly love. So Krishna, because she was from a very, very low caste, so he first looked around to make sure no one was going to see. And he jumped onto her lap. Said, oh, Maya. And he jumped off quickly. And then Krishna, with his hands full of fruit, went inside. And she was Krishna, who is the giver of all fruits, had taken fruits from her because she had offered them with such a melted heart, with such love. He accepted them all, every one of her fruits. And she just went in ecstasy, not knowing anything that her Krishna had, the giver of fruits, had turned all her basket, filled it with jewels. And Krishna actually didn't do this himself, Srila Jiva Goswami explains. But his potencies did this, because he was in the mood of just a little boy. But his potencies, the giver of all fruits of everything, ultimately reciprocated with her in that way. And she didn't notice at all. She was just enwrapped. Her consciousness was just absorbed in this vision of this personified stream of bliss, more enchanting than a monsoon cloud filled with rain, effulgent and sweet, moving in this graceful, childish way, awkward and graceful at the same time. And she stood outside the house for a long time when Krishna went in, And then after some time, she went home thinking to get more fruit, to bring more for him. And Krishna went inside and he was carrying all this fruit. And some say that he pulled on his mother's sari to get her attention. And some say that he took all the fruit and he held her sari, the veil, and filled her veil with all the fruit. And Yashoda Maya said, "Where did you get all this fruit from?" "Oh la la." And Krishna replied in a broken way, indicated, "Oh, there was some lady outside. She just gave me the fruit." And Mother Yashoda said, "Oh, you have to be very careful with dealing with people outside who we don't know. Because you can't trust everyone like you can trust us." And Krishna, as Srila Jiva Goswami said, looked at her very innocently and said, "Who should I not trust?" And Mother Yashoda couldn't answer that question. So the second of the verses, while Krishna was going to the food vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. And nonetheless, the food vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. So I remember many, many years ago when we were in Hong Kong, maybe 35 years ago, and we had the Krishna book, when we were trying to collect donations, We would walk to the wealthy people and we would show them this story. "If you give some fruits, your basket will be filled with jewels." That was the point that we were trying to make to them. But when she got back to her house and she saw all the jewels, she didn't think, "What I have gained." But on the other hand, her consciousness, filled with the beautiful form of Krishna, thought, "I have lost the greatest treasure. I have lost the greatest treasure." How beautiful is Krishna? We're going to need some accompaniment here. But I wanted to read some descriptions of Krishna's beauty. These are from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it's a good time because it's starting to get a little cold, which means it's starting to get dark. So, because I'm just going to be reading, please just look at Giriraj now. Because this is the last chance for this evening that we'll have an opportunity to see him. He is so beautiful also. Something about him is so beautiful. This verse is spoken by Maitreya Muni, or rather Uddhav. "Yanmartya lila paikam svayoga maya balam darshayata grihitam vismapanam swasya cha subhagade padam padam bhushana bhushanangam." The Lord appeared in this mortal world by his internal potency, yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulences, including the Lord himself in his form of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his transcendental body is Bhushana Bhushanangam, the ornament of all ornaments. Now, what Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj has done in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's taken many, many verses and he's given, practically speaking, a commentary on these verses. in his Bengali verses that come after this. And therefore, the Vaishnavas appreciate his words about Krishna's pastimes and the verses describing Krishna's pastimes so much, they gave him the name of Kaviraj. And Srila Dhyanachand Goswami said, Krishna das Kaviraja Bhakta Rasika Mahaja, that he is the greatest devotee at relishing and expanding bhakti rasa. Please listen to what he says about Krishna's beauty. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. And all of this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking these words to Srila Sanatana Goswami. He says, O Sanatana, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional, small understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in an ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it even attracts Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Please think of the most beautiful form of Krishna that appeals to you. Your favorite deity, your favorite painting of Krishna. Total beauty, total knowledge, total wealth, total strength, total fame, and total renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. And he is eternally situated in his opulences. Ornaments caress that body. But the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments that he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments, bhushana bhushanangam, enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three curved style of standing. And above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move from side to side, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And when the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are the expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, the Lakshmis, the wives of the Narayanas, are the women described in the Vedas as the most chaste. They are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds, and just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is also called Madana Mohana, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows representing form. Krishna's form is the most beautiful. Taste, smell, fragrance, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his cupid-like beauty he conquers the minds of the gopis, though they are very proud of their super-excellent beauty. And becoming a new cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages in the rasa dance. When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends who are on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of Krishna's blissful enjoyments. And when Krishna plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals and human beings, they tremble, saturated with ecstasy, and tears flow constantly from their eyes. Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck, and the peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garments appear like lightning in the sky, and Krishna himself appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the fields. And the constant rain of the nectarian pastimes of Krishna falls upon these newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna, exactly as grains receive life from the rains.
Krishna, Krishna. Rama Rama Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
I'd like to just read a little more about Krishna's beauty. This verse is spoken by the residents, the ladies of Mathura, in the wrestling arena while Krishna is fighting with Mastika. And Balaram is fighting with Mastika. And Krishna is fighting with Janara. They say, this is actually when they saw Krishna. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness. This is actually when Krishna is walking in the streets of Mathura just after he arrives. His form is the essence of loveliness. What? Just how lovely is the essence of loveliness? And not to be equaled or surpassed. That form is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect. It is ever fresh and extremely rare. Very difficult. Only the rarest person sees this form. Here is a comment of Srila Jiva Goswami on this verse. How unfortunate we must be, since we have not seen him. There is no avatar equal to him, what to speak of being superior to him. The gopis drink that form out of thirst as if it were nectar. That form is constantly fresh. That form constantly increases its novelty with appearance of prema arising from the manifestation of increasingly beautiful, of the increasingly beautiful form. His beauty cannot even be described. Please listen to this. His beauty cannot even be described, since when the writer begins to write, he becomes bewildered. What worship of the Lord, what tapasya did the gopis perform to get this result, which is beyond words and beyond the mind? If you know, then we are also eager to perform this worship. What austerities did they perform? They did not perform austerities, since austerities alone cannot yield such results. He can appear in this way only for his eternal consorts. That is because this is his supreme form. They could not have done austerities, because with their eyes they drink the form of he who cannot be described even when present before him. That form has the highest beauty in each limb. Though they drink continually, that sweetness does not get less. By hinting at their thirst, Sukadev compares that form to an ocean of nectar. If seeing him gives such an experience, what will embracing him do? The ladies are thinking. What is the beauty of that form? It is the best part of all shining beauty, or that form is most intense with beauty. Or, one may say, if the gopis see this one form at all times, they will not feel astonishment at all times. If the gopis see continuously this form, they cannot feel astonishment continuously. But the answer is that form is increasingly beautiful and fresh. Or if one says, if that form is in Braj, others can also see it. The answer is no, it is rarely seen, since others do not have such prema. Because the prema, the love of the devotees, causes Krishna to reciprocate and reveal more and more of his unlimited beauty. That form appears to the gopis because of their fixed absorption. It will not manifest in any other condition. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment. What austerities did the gopis do? If anyone is omniscient, if they know everything, then please tell us what austerities they perform. We will perform the same austerities and be born as gopis in Braja. They drink the nectar of his beauty, while we at the arena of wrestling drink the poison of thinking of him going to be injured. We sit here, filled with fever, from the tips of our nails to the tips of our hair. Krishna's form, this is the first time they're seeing Krishna. And his beauty, the beauty of his form has completely captivated them. But Krishna is Raso Vaisa. He is the reservoir of all rasa. And different people, according to their relationship with Krishna, will see him, perceive him in different ways. And those who love him, to those who love him, he reveals. So we want to develop Krishna. we want to develop. We should desire. It's nice to desire this. And the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ends by saying, one should not say that he is most excellent because of his superior beauty. Rather, the essence of all beauty is his Swarupa. This is Krishna. He is the essence of all beauty. Continuing in this chapter, there's one relatively short pastime that we'll conclude with. And this is a pastime. Again, this is, we're hearing about Vatsalyaras here. And Mother Yashoda, especially Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. And how powerful that love is. And this pastime, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that although everyone in Vrindavan ends up controlling Krishna to different degrees because of their love, because their love is so complete, because they're so captivated by the way he acts, the way his beauty, the way he talks. But Mother Yashoda's love was the strongest amongst all the gopis. So, in this next text, once after uprooting of the Jamal Arjun trees, some acharyas say this took place on the same day of the uprooting of the trees, and some say it takes place on the fifth day after. One day, Mother Yashoda was cooking for Krishna, and as she was cooking for Krishna, she understood that he was, he had wandered away. There's other explanations of how he wandered away. But she was cooking and she didn't want to disturb her cooking because she was cooking for Krishna. So she requested Rohini Devi to call Krishna and bring him for prasadam because it was time for him to eat. So Rohini Devi went to call Rama and Krishna, who were playing with the other cowherd boys, who had both gone to the riverside. They were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini came back and she asked Mother Yashoda, she told Mother Yashoda, I can't bring them back, they won't listen to me, so you go bring them back. So Rohini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna was not afraid of anyone, but he was a little bit afraid of Mother Yashoda. Being attached, Krishna and Balaram, being attached to their play, they were playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Because boys do this, and Krishna and Balaram are the original boys. They are late, not yet, but later on, they will be the original cool teenagers also. So therefore, it was late, and Mother Yashoda called them for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna and Balaram, as she was walking to the river, milk was flowing from her breasts. Because milk is the transformed affection of the mother. And that is why that cow's milk, coming especially from protected cows, of course, it is so nourishing. Because it is the affection of the cow for the calf. And the cows in India, they are not forced like the Western cows. The calves are taken away and then the machines are hooked up to the udders. But in India, especially in Vrindavan, you see that the calves come. They bring the calves in front of the cows. And then when the cow sees the calf, there's so much affection that the milk is dropped into the udder. And then the calf drinks a little bit, and then they take away the calf, and then they'll milk the cow like that. And you see the calves going like this, with their heads, and they're knocking the udder, because they want more and more milk. some milk out of her affection. So that's why milk drinking is so good, because it's drinking the motherly affection of the cow. And it is so nourishing for that reason, because that's what nourishes everyone, is affection. So this is the condensed liquid form of affection. So milk was flowing out of her affection. Milk was flowing from the breasts of Mother Yashoda. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami, he says, please listen to this verse, because just try to enter into the affectionate mood of Mother Yashoda. Please, I'll say it one line and then please repeat. Krishna Krishna Aravindaksha Tata eha stanam piva Alam viharanai chuchanta Kvido shanto asi putraka. She calls Krishna Tata, oh dearly beloved. Sometimes she calls him oh lala, or sometimes she calls him oh vatsa, and sometimes oh tata, dearly beloved. Oh Krishna, Krishna. She's calling out his names from a distance. She also wants him to know that she is coming to bring him home. And she's calling him from a distance, because she's afraid that if she's not close to him, he's going to run away and hide, because after all, Krishna is very naughty. Oh, lotus-eyed Krishna, oh, Krishna, calling with so much affection. Oh, Tata, please come and drink the milk from my breast. She's attracting him with her affection and the sweet milk from her breast. Alam viharai chuchanta, please stop your playing. And come home now, my dear son. My dear son, come home now. My dear son Krishna, O lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore. Now, you can't tell a young boy who's playing with his friends that there's no need to play anymore and expect it to be effective. That Mother Yashoda will find out. But as she's speaking to him in these very sweet words, attracting to his attention by calling his name with such love and affection, she's walking closer and closer to where he is playing. Actually, she's afraid for his welfare, because just a few days before, heavy, powerful trees have fallen down near him, and there Krishna's playing near the river. He might fall in. Who knows what will happen to him? And then she calls out. It didn't work calling Krishna, Krishna. So she calls out to Baladev, because Baladev is very submissive to Mother Yashoda. My dear Baladev, oh best of our family. She's trying to incite something in Krishna. She calls Baladev, oh best of our family. I'm looking for the Rama Gatsha Tatasu. She's also, because so much love is expressed in Vrindavan. Everyone is beloved of everyone. But Mother Yashoda and Nandamara treated Baladev just as their own son, like Krishna. Oh, best of our family, please come immediately, because Krishna was, he tended very much always to listen to Dao, his older brother. Please come immediately with your younger brother Krishna. You both ate late in the morning, and now you ought to eat something more. Please come, hold Krishna's hand, and please bring him with you, and let us go. That didn't work. So she continued to call Balaram. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, is now waiting to eat, and he's so hungry, and he won't eat. our dear son Balaram more affection. He is waiting for you before he starts to eat. That's getting pretty heavy, isn't it? He won't eat, and he's so hungry, he won't eat until you come. Therefore, please come back to please us. Even if you're not hungry, please Nanda Maharaj. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. This is called Rajniti. This is divide and conquer. She's very intelligent. And as she's saying each of these slokas, these words, she's calling out to them very sweetly, but very steadily, moving step by step towards them. Mother Yashoda further told Krishna, "My dear son, because of your playing all day long, your body has been covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back and take your bath and cleanse yourself." Now she says something very, very, very clever. Today, this is the constellation Nakshatra, because there's two ways to observe birthdays. One is by the solar way, and then there's by the Nakshatra, one of the, how many Nakshatras? 27, is it? 28 every month, the different constellations. So, today, the moon, the nakshatra is in your moon sign. Today, the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, it is your birthday. And on your birthday, we celebrate it, not as the Western habit of having a party and giving presents for the birthday boy or girl, but rather, birthdays are celebrated by Dan, Jagya, and one other thing, and tapasya, by austerity, charity, and doing sacrifice. So therefore, be pure. Get cleaned. You will look so beautiful. We will dress you up, because Krishna's a very nice dresser. She's trying to attract him. Actually, it's not his birthday at all. She's told a little lie to try to get Krishna's attention and bring him home. Therefore, be pure and give charity, cows and charity, to the brahmanas, because Krishna is very attracted to giving cows and charity to the brahmanas. He loves to give charity. From his very birth, from his childhood, he always gave charity, and he loved that very much. And this is what attracted him to stop. And then Mother Yashoda was so close. And at this time, she continued. He had stopped at this time, but she continued. Just see, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, perhaps Jiva Goswami, says she was trying to evoke a little envy in Krishna of his friends. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's in this mood. He can't stop playing because the sweetness of his sakiras playing with his friends, which is now practically for the first time being described, is so captivating for him that he's so absorbed in it. Just see how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. But you have dust all over your body, because you've been playing since early morning. So come here, and after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. And at that time, as Prabhupada says in the purport here, generally young boys are competitive, and if one friend has done something, another friend also wants to do the same thing. Therefore, Mother Yashoda pointed out how Krishna's playmates were decorated so that Krishna might be induced to decorate himself like them. So at this point, and of course Mother Yashoda, by the way, even though it wasn't Krishna's birthday, she performed a sacrifice and had Krishna give charity when they went home. It was a great ceremony just to provide some auspiciousness for Krishna. Everything was for Krishna. So at this point, And she got closer and closer and said, "Don't worry, you'll be able to play with your friends again." She grabbed Krishna and Balaram. And then she turned around and talked to them and told them stories and said all the things they were going to do and walked them home. So that's the... And here's the final verse that Sukadev Goswami is describing what happened. "My dear Maharaj Prickett, because of intense love and affection, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, considered Krishna, who was at the peak of all opulences, to be her own son. She took Krishna by the hand along with Balaram and brought them home, where she performed her duties by fully bathing them, dressing them, and feeding them." So there's just a few verses I'll read here that describe the glories of Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. This one verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says it's the Paribhasya Sutra of Krishna's childhood pastimes. And that means it is the lens by which you can understand all the pastimes through. You use this verse as the basis for understanding the true nature of the pastimes. So here is the verse. Could you please play? "O Maharaj Prickett, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva..." Oh, that's the next verse. "The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, and the literature of Sankhya Yoga and other Vaishnava literatures. So all learning, all the Vedic knowledge is only about understanding Krishna. Yet, Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child." And one other verse from the ninth chapter, or two other verses. "O Maharaj Prickett, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, that Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime where Mother Yashoda has bound Krishna. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda." Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Krishna's Vrindavan Leela ki jai. Yashoda Maya ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Hare Krishna.